All right, everybody, we have a few huge pieces of news to break down today as the Epstein Files Transparency Act Part 2 is kind of breaking the brains of congressional Republicans. At the same time, Vice President J.D. Vance just got done giving a press conference that was painfully embarrassing. I mean, he flubbed the joke about the anniversary of 9/11. He continued to say very awkward things. At one point, he said that You know, this is the only war that we've won in a while, the one with Iran. And then moments later, he proceeds to say that this isn't even a war at all. He contests that it's even a war. He's a complete mess when he's standing on stage. And we have to break this down, but to just give you the backdrop of what's happening. New, Speaker Mike Johnson and GOP House leadership cancel the last 2 weeks of September sessions, all but ensuring no major legislation is voted on before the midterm, including Thomas Massie's new Epstein Files Transparency Act Part 2. And we'll get into that more in a minute because Speaker of the House Mike Johnson kind of played his hand in the clip that I'll play. But the Republican Party is in a uniquely weak position heading into the midterms. They're running with their tail tucked behind their legs, refusing to actually pass any legislation that will help the American people. And J.D. Vance is not a good spokesperson for the party. Let me show you how painfully awkward this clip of J.D. Vance is, and then we'll talk about the complete derelict of duty coming from congressional Republicans who are just taking time off to avoid an Epstein vote, therefore abdicating their responsibility to rein in this Iran war, to maybe put a check on the tariffs that are jacking up costs, maybe pass legislation that helps the American people, like crazy idea. Maybe Republicans can actually write a bill and pass it now that they have all of the power. They have the presidency and the Congress. But no, they're dipping and they're sending J.D. Vance out as a spokesperson. Take a look at this clip of J.D. Vance talking about the 25th anniversary of 9/11, which he will be attending. Watch.
Later to get back to, and if even just for a day, even if just for a few hours, I would encourage people to tune in. I'm also, as you guys can probably guess, I'm really looking forward to hanging out with Joe Biden. I'm sure that we'll have many, many intense intellectual conversations, and you know, it'll be great. We'll have a great time with Joe Biden and the other presidents. Go ahead.
Oh my God, this is the least charismatic human being I've ever seen. He is like a superficial suit, a shallow human being who tries to be charismatic in the words, like he writes it down and thinks it's funny, but he cannot deliver it whatsoever. It gets even worse. He then says, America has fought a lot of wars since I've been alive. 42 wars. We have won almost none of them until Trump became president. But then he gets asked about Iran being a war, and he denies it's even a war.
America has fought a lot of wars since I've been alive, 42 years. And we have won almost none of them until Donald J. Trump became the president of the United States. What does that say about the culture of military leadership, the way that we did planning?
Negotiations happening with Iran. Will this war be over by the time of the midterm elections?
Well, Caitlin, again, I wouldn't call it a war. Right now, there is no active shooting. I recognize there have been places where this has flared up.
Places where this has flared up, we have been bombing them over and over for the past week because we couldn't get out of the war that we started 185 days ago. I absolutely deny this idea that J.D. Vance is trying to spread that we've won this war or that we're winning this war or that this can fall under the category of a victory. We haven't achieved anything that Trump claimed. Like, even if we follow Trump's framework of wanting no nukes, no missiles, no proxies in the region, and a regime change, we haven't gotten any of those. The regime is the same. The missiles are still firing. The nuclear material is still in Iran. And at the end of the day, the proxies are probably better off than they were before. If you appreciate these videos, by the way, make sure you drop a like on the Adam Mockler feed. Make sure you're subscribed. We have a lot of great debate content coming out. We had a CNN hit this morning that I posted. You should go check that out. Then we posted our own debate show where I debated a MAGA bro who's like a radio TPUSA guy. It's good stuff. But let's jump into the Epstein Files part of this, because as J.D. Vance is completely bombing, Congress is about to shut down. A couple days ago, Mike Johnson mocked Thomas Massie for suggesting House leadership could keep Congress out to avoid new Epstein Files Transparency Act, calling the idea stupid and nonsensical. Now, The final 2 weeks of September have been canceled. Watch this clip from a few days ago where Mike Johnson is scoffing at the idea of canceling.
Mr. Speaker, Thomas Massie. Mr. Speaker, Thomas Massie is now alleging that you are going to hold the House in recess until after the midterm elections due to the Epstein Files Transparency Act.
So let me tell you how stupid Thomas Massie's comment is. If he would come to our House Republican conference meetings, as we had this morning, he would have heard me say, privately, as I've said publicly, Republicans are here to work. We have a schedule, a calendar that's been out for a year. We are abiding by that calendar. We are going to work all the way through September and every day that's on the calendar, so long as people like him don't stop the progress. So that is a nonsensical statement by someone who is not participating as a full member of the Congress, and it's really sad that he doesn't.
The gaslighting is wild. So he said in that clip, they are going to be serving every single day they can. Throughout the rest of September, they are going to keep on serving. Well, that was a lie. He is shamelessly lying. The Republicans know that they can't vote for the Epstein File Transparency Act Part 2 because it would expose Trump, Howard Lutnick, and a lot of the other people in the administration, right? But they also know that in not voting for that, the optics will be so bad ahead of the midterms that they'd rather just completely dip out of Congress and abdicate their duty. Democrats are cleverly putting them in kind of a no-win situation. It's Thomas Massie and Ro Khanna that are leading this, but they're putting Republicans in a no-win situation because, like, what are they supposed to do? If they vote yes on the Epstein files, it exposes Trump and the Republicans lose. If they vote no on it, the optics are awful and the Republicans lose. Obviously, the morally right thing to do and what we want them to do is to vote to release this. And the Epstein Files Transparency Act Part 2 is even more sophisticated because it allows state attorney generals to get information from the DOJ so they can further their investigations. Let me show you Thomas Massie announcing this.
For what purpose does a gentleman from Kentucky seek recognition?
Request unanimous consent to address the House for 1 minute.
Without objection, the gentleman is recognized for 1 minute.
Mr. Speaker, it's been a year since the President signed the Epstein Files Transparency Act, and the government continues to withhold over 3 million files. That's why we've introduced the Epstein Files Transparency Act 2, to bring the fight to the state courts, accountability to the Department of Justice, and closure for survivors. We want perpetrators of these crimes to be investigated and prosecuted. Men like Jess Staley, Leon Black, Les Wexner, David Copperfield, Lapo Elkham, Tom Pritzker, Glenn Dubin, Frederick Fekai, Eduardo Teodorani, Jean-Luc Brunel, conveniently dead by suicide in prison, Daniel Siad, recently discovered dead in Paris, Ramzi El-Khoury, and Prince Andrew, who committed sex crimes in the United States, too, and women like Leslie Groff, not a victim, who conspired with Epstein to traffic other women. Perhaps hearing these names will shame the Department of Justice into delivering justice.
I don't think the DOJ can feel shame at this point, but well said from Thomas Massie. We obviously disagree with him on a lot of things, but this does take a lot of guts. And then Thomas Massie comes out and says, yesterday, Ro Khanna, Rep. Teresa LF and I launched a discharge petition to collect 218 signatures to force a vote on the Epstein Files Transparency Act 2. Again, a discharge petition forces the vote on the House floor, even if Speaker Johnson doesn't want it. That's what happened the first time. They had to force the vote on the House floor. Now, there are rumors that Speaker Johnson will soon recess the House until after the midterm elections to avoid the votes. There are rumors about it. And Speaker of the House Mike Johnson called him dumb for this. Then Thomas Massie follows up and says, Tuesday, I tweeted Mike Johnson would recess Congress until after the election in an attempt to stymie our latest Epstein bill. Johnson went on TV adamantly saying that was stupid and we'd work every day. Today he announced we'll recess on September 17th until after the election. Holy shit. And we have a release from Tom Emmer, courtesy of the majority leader. Next votes are on Monday, September 14th. Members are advised that votes are not expected in the House during the weeks of September 21st and September 28th. In October, there's basically nothing. That means there will be no votes on this before the midterms. The Republicans basically took the coward's way out. Either they had to vote for the bill and it looked bad for them because of Trump and all the people associated, or they didn't vote for the bill and it looked even worse because they're covering for pedophiles, and they decided to just run away and just have their tail tucked behind their legs. That is what Speaker of the House Mike Johnson does best. He gaslights. He inverses reality. Watch this clip of him saying that, you know, a part of the religion of Islam and the Iranians seems to be that they can just lie with whoever they disagree with.
But the problem has been, and the reason we've been frustrated, is that the Iranians simply cannot be trusted. They'll sit at a negotiation table and say something, they'll walk away and do the opposite. For some of them, it's, you know, apparently part of their religion that they can just lie to someone they disagree with. So that's been a difficult thing. And the president has steady hands at the wheel. He is working every day to try to resolve this and negotiate it in a way that is in the best interest of the American people and freedom-loving people around the world.
The irony of that clip just got sweeter and sweeter as it went on. First, he says that it's the Iranians who are lying and will say one thing and then do another. That literally describes Trump to a T. I mean, sure, Iranians do it too. That's part of the negotiation strategy of them, but Trump does it 10 times worse. He threatened to nuke them one day. He said he was going to wipe out the entire civilization. Then the next day he said they were begging for a deal and he was almost on the verge of a peace deal. This guy's bipolar as hell. But secondly, to say it's apparently part of their religion that they can lie to someone they disagree with, when you are the one that is the most prolific liar in the House and you run defense for the most prolific president in American history that has lied a million times, I think that you don't have any moral high ground.
That we are doing that is because people like you understand the stakes are so high, right? This is for all the marbles. We cannot lose this midterm. I want you to imagine a nightmare scenario with these insurgent Marxist Democrats taking over the Congress. They would impeach the president on the first day. They've already said what they're going to do. They'll convert every committee of Congress into an investigative body. They'll spend every waking hour investigating the president and his family and the cabinet and going on this lawfare exercise. It would roil the markets. It would undermine people's confidence in the U.S. and the economy. It would empower our enemies across the globe at the world.
I actually think the best way to build confidence in our institutions is to finally have checks and balances against the powerful, rich, corrupt politicians, the swamp that Trump claimed he was going to drain. Like, there's no better way to restore faith to the American people than to investigate this stuff. He could have just been writing an ad for the average American who wants to see corruption gone. Oh, you're telling me that we're going to have investigative bodies on Donald Trump selling early access to his Truth Social for $100,000 a month? That sounds great. I want to see Don Jr. investigated for the corruption, the alleged corruption with his companies and the Pentagon and the way that Donald Trump is dealing out these conflicts in a non-competitive way, just handing them out. We need this to be investigated. We're going to keep pushing for that. If you appreciate this, make sure you drop a like. Make sure you subscribe. I'll see you on the next video. Peace out.